Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Wednesday, the 25th of February. Very nice to have you with us. It is, it's always a pleasure. We invite you to join us on the conversation. Here's how you can do it. Just write to us, roundtable@wamc.org, and we'd love to hear from you. We have a couple of, I wouldn't call them rules, more suggestions that we enforce.
Yeah.
And then and that would be 140 characters, the Twitter rule, if you will, in writing us an email. So keep it brief, because if you want us to read it on the air, we want to be able to get on, you know, get along to everybody. And also, if you know, one to a customer, if you I know sometimes it's stream of consciousness, and you sit there with your computer and you fire off several missives, and we like to give other people a chance, and sometimes it's nice to just have one, or you know, one from you, and then you can come back tomorrow and do it again. That's all. So those are the suggestions that we will enforce, and we welcome you to do so. Roundtable@wamc.org. Now that that is out of the way, oh, hold on. Ray needs his coffee.
Yeah.
Is the coffee, Ray?
Ordinarily, that's the gesture for let's go get a cocktail.
I know. That's what I thought. I was. I got him very excited.
This
usually doesn't happen until 10:30.
When it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's right. Joining us for the discussion this morning, WAMC's Alan Shartok. Good morning, Alan.
I think it is. I was up late. I was bad.
What, until 10?
So you think it's a good morning or you think it's morning?
I don't really know what it is.
All
I'm
right.
Just sort of looking on.
Were you up
all
until
right.
10? Was that
yes,
what happened?
10 o'clock.
10
I
o'clock?
Went to bed at 10:20. Yeah.
What'd you watch?
No, I had to go to a wonderful dinner, which I really enjoyed,
okay,
out at Mount Holyoke
ooh,
College.
Ooh,
it was
nice.
Very impressive.
Oh,
people.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I got back late. And
okay.
I've been grumpy ever since.
Oh, yeah. Well.
I got a note. Well, never mind.
No, please. You can't.
No, I was just going to say, I was, but there was a member of the panel
yeah.
who chided me for having the topics in late.
Oh, boy.
And yet that panel member was the reason that I was late.
I did not chide you. I did not chide you. I just said, we're going to get him soon?
Right.
Well, that's a chide.
I was like, right now, I'm busy.
Yeah.
Right here,
no, I'll be the referee. That's
okay.
That's definitely a chide.
Let me just say that Joe was stellar last night at the New Yorkers for Better Libraries PAC Gala.
No, but I want you to at least say, hey, I left you, and then immediately within 10 minutes, you had them. Yes?
I did. I had them before I got home.
That's all I care about.
I was very impressed.
I want you all to be happy panel members.
And I went to sleep and woke up and read them this morning.
Speaking of happy, SUNY Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo is here.
I'm grumpy. I had oral surgery yesterday. My face is puffy.
It is not puffy. It is not puffy. It's beautiful as always.
It's fine.
So is this, I hate to ask this, but is this a precursor? Do you have to have more surgery?
Of course,
or is this
of
done?
Course. Okay. Does it ever end?
Right.
And
no.
Boy, is it expensive.
It sure is.
Well, it's expensive and it hurts and it's annoying. And
right.
Yeah.
And when you want to have the gentle dental and they put you to sleep, it's even more expensive.
Gentle dental.
Yeah.
I like
that. Yeah.
I had the gentle dental.
Yeah, and they put you to sleep.
Yeah, I stayed asleep.
Yeah,
I
did
were,
too.
But yeah.
But
anyway.
In fact, you're still sleeping.
I might. I'm a little quieter than usual.
Oh, no.
Yes, you are.
Then it's up to all of us brain dead people to keep the thing going.
Well, there's only two of you left because Rosemary and I are out.
We're out of it.
Okay.
All right. I'm sure you will all rise to the occasion as you do each and every morning. So let me.
When provoked.
Well,
which in your case is not hard to do.
That's my job. Let me provoke you. Let's talk about net neutrality and the story that came through yesterday that broke, and that is senior Republicans conceded on Tuesday that the grueling fight with President Obama over the regulation of internet service appears over, with the president and an army of internet activists victorious. The FCC is expected on Thursday to approve regulating internet service like a public utility, prohibiting companies from paying for faster lanes on the internet. While the two Democratic commissioners are negotiating over technical details, they are widely expected to side with the Democratic chairman, Tom Wheeler, against the two Republican commissioners.
Which means that if there was a Republican president right now, it would have gone the other way.
That's right.
Right.
In other words, you would have had the chairman chosen by the White House, basically, and then you would have had these other two. You would have these other two Republicans, because otherwise it's equally balanced, and it would have gone the other way, which is somewhat scary since the outcome here is so correct. I mean, why would we allow the richest among us to buy the internet, which is basically what this is all about?
Well, in fact, a future Republican president could undo it, and it won't go into effect until probably what looks to be a lengthy lawsuit brought by these companies. And I also am a little bit worried about now that the internet is going to be seen as a public utility, this gives the FCC the right to regulate. So what new rules will there be in the future? I think this is a good decision.
Yeah, you make a good point.
It's not over yet.
Well, your point is, once you give a bureaucracy the right to do things. I mean, one of the stupidest of all is the idea that channels 1 through 13 on the television, you can't curse on. Channel 14 up.
Right.
So why are we doing that? We're doing it to protect our children so that they don't have to hear that stuff.
Yep.
You mean that little kid with the
remote
with
in
the remote
hand.
In his hand that knows the difference between channel 13 mm-hmm. and channel 14?
Right.
I mean, it's pretty funny stuff.
Yeah.
So after a while, and also the attempts to... And in the past, it's been awful to say what we can say on the radio and what we can say, and you make a very good point, Rosemary.
What's great here is that the grassroots rose up to stop this. You know,
yeah.
It was a lot of millions of people who use the internet. The smaller companies, you know, like Tumblr and Itzy, you know, organized their bases, and the president heard, and Congress heard, and the FCC heard, and they're doing the right thing. This is like, you know, regulating, you know, okay, so Rosemary, you pay a little more to your gas company, you're going to get your gas faster,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly.
Your heat's going to be better than the gas and the heat, or your telephone service, or any of the other public utilities. And, you know, it's not like rich people don't own public utilities.
Well, I don't, and also, and not to correct you, but just to add on, but, you know, you were mentioning like Tumblr and Etsy, and yes, those are certainly winners here. But also Twitter, which is huge,
yes.
and Netflix, which is huge.
Right, Netflix, so, right, was
yeah,
great. That
I mean,
were
these are very large entities
right.
that got into this
yeah.
fight and on the president's
right.
side.
It's interesting. Google, Facebook, they sort of stayed on the sidelines.
Yeah. Well, you know, on my way in every once in a while, as you know, I come in very early in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes the BBC actually has stuff that I've either heard or I find so depressing that I just don't want to listen to it. So I go to the AM band, and I listen to the garbage. And these guys, these are
higher...
And if
you want regulations, that's what should be regulated.
Whoa!
Yes.
You know, the right wing has bought all of these stations.
That's right.
And you have these guys mouthing off, and their take on this thing was just wrong. They kept saying stuff over and over and over again, how this is a big government takeover, when really they're just shills for rich people.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. And when they say it over and over and over again, and the people who listen don't know any better, they think it's the truth.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, it was really a fight of Comcast and Verizon and Time Warner, and, mm-hmm. and we were talking about who stayed out, but actually Amazon and Google also.
Right.
And Barack Obama, he also got a big win in this. He
yeah.
seems
he
to
did.
Be winning against Congress a lot since he lost the midterms.
Well, you know, it's like he's found his...
Finally.
Right.
Yeah.
His mojo.
As both Rosemary and Alan indicated, the new FCC rules are still likely to be tied up in a protracted court fight with the cable companies and internet service providers that oppose it. And they could be overturned in the future by a Republican-leaning commission. But for now, Congress's hands appear to be tied.
So if Hillary wins, then she gets to name the FCC
right.
chair.
Right.
If the Republicans win, you know it's going to go the other way. It's
unless
that simple.
It goes to a higher court.
No. I'm not talking
no,
about...
No, I know what you're talking
yeah,
about, but I mean if
yeah.
as it rises.
Right. But we always have to remember when we name people to the Supreme Court of the United States and others that they can do unto you what you do unto them, if you're following me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about other issues as well. We welcome your letters. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Tierra Farm Retail Stores, Madison Avenue, Albany, and Route 203, Volusia, New York. Organic nuts, dried fruit, fair trade coffee, chocolate, granola, nut butters, and gift baskets. TierraFarm.com. Monticello Licensed Real Estate Broker, 80 Davis Avenue, Albany. Utilizing professional photographs, custom websites, and internet marketing to help sell Capital Region homes. MonticelloNYS.com. And the Saratoga Springs Rotary Club, presenting its Home and Lifestyle Show with 120 exhibitors and special events Friday through Sunday at the Saratoga City Center. RotaryHomeShow.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us on this Wednesday morning. And we welcome your letters, roundtable at wamc.org, roundtable at wamc.org. We have a few more minutes before we go over to a news break from the FCC. With the BBC.
Well, it
sorry.
Is the FCC. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. Joe, that is funny.
It is all the,
right.
The BBC.
That's great.
It'd be great if the FCC had their own news.
Well,
news
in a way they do.
Yeah, I guess they do.
All of
you.
Us.
Yeah,
right.
We help out. Other big story yesterday was the veto. We knew it was coming, and it came. It was President Obama's Keystone veto. Is only his third in 6 years, and we were promised it would not be his last.
Yeah. Well, for those of us who think he did right, he gets a lot of credit from his own people, as opposed to the sense that, as Rosemary recently said, he's finally found his voice, and Libby said, you know, that at least you have a leader who is leading you in the right direction. It's not namby-pamby. So he's lame-ducked. He only has, you know, a little while left in office. Why not? Why not do the right thing?
Right.
Well, I think he did it for an expression of power. I'm the president. I have the right to decide
about
this. I do not think this is a vote against the pipeline. So we'll wait and see on that.
So, meaning?
Meaning
clarify.
That when he gets a report from the State Department, he will then make a decision whether or not to go forward with the pipeline. This stopped it for now.
Right.
And I don't think it really represents what – I don't think it's a vote for the environment, in other words. I think it was a vote against Congress. And I'm in favor of it on either score. So, and the other thing that that has come out very clearly is that we're talking about 35 jobs. Yeah, yes, there'll be construction jobs building it, but all of this Republican thing, we need it for jobs. It's 35.
Well, don't you think this, Rosemary?
Ridiculous.
Don't you think there's a certain amount of logic to all of this?
To what?
To popular appeal for a project of this kind. In other words, somebody has to say, well, okay. Do we really want the rich guys taking over our internet? And the public just doesn't want to sell so that happens. In the case of the pipeline, nobody's ever been able to make a really good case about this dirty oil
right.
that is going to come down on a pipeline throughout so many of our states will clearly get corrupted at some point. We'll get down to Louisiana and we ship somewhere else. People are scratching their heads and say, now, that's good for us. Why?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is a president has a lot to work with when he's right.
Although I'm not sure I know what dirty oil is. Is there clean oil?
I mean,
a broken pipeline would be bad.
Yes, but no matter what, a broken pipeline would be bad. But this is sands oil from they take out of the sands up in Alberta, and it's like sort of the stuff that's in the trains coming through here, and it's just it's
Capital
dirty.
Region.
It's more it's I don't know. I would say it's more flammable, but it's not as stable. And there's more
harder to contain.
There's more risk using that kind of oil. And you know, all you need is a little crack in that pipeline, and there goes
disaster.
Millions of acres of farmland. in the center of the country.
But
you know?
But Alan, what? Because I think this is key. Because what about Rosemary's point? Because it's exactly what the president said, is that his concern is that the process was circumvented. He has not been outspoken in his opposition to the pipeline itself. He has been upset about the process. And so, I mean, are you trying to have it both ways then, or would we feel better if he was saying, no, we don't want this pipeline at all?
Well, let's put it this way. This is a president who is pro-fracking. We know that. So, and he's energy oriented. So this is not a great, liberal voice putting his feet in the sand. However, I suspect that he is now, I don't know, can you say heisted on his own?
Petard.
I'm sure. So he has made a point. He's vetoed the bill. It seems to me he will look foolish if he now turns around and says, okay, now that I've got the report, I'm going to allow it. I don't know that he intended that to be the case, but I think that's what he's saddled with right now.
Well, the State Department might just come back with a report that says no.
Mm-hmm. Do you think when state departments come back with reports that say no, or the State Department of Environmental Conservation in New York, or the Health Department comes back, that you don't see Andrew Cuomo's thumb on, okay, boys, this is what we're going to do?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, we got Andrew Cuomo in on the pipeline?
Well,
hold
no,
it. I missed that connection.
On the fracking.
On fracking.
On the fracking.
Fracking,
sure.
Overall.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, all this time it took to study it and study it and study it and study it. And then there was no more studying it. And then all of a sudden the floodgates opened. The health commissioner reported and said, I wouldn't want it. I don't want it. And the DEC guy said, who had been studying, said, I don't want it. Come on.
Because the governor said he didn't want it.
Well, no, because the governor told them to say they didn't want it.
Right. So you put it off.
I'm assuming that, Governor, if you're listening and if I've in any way ticked you off, well, just good.
All right.
Okay.
We have we're gonna go to a break, and we'll be back. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We will return after the short break. Good morning. Welcome back to our discussion on the roundtable this morning. It's Wednesday, the 25th, and we are very happy that you're with us, and we have a lot to talk about. We've got some letters. We'll go through those, and then we'll get on with other subjects at hand.
Well, we have some letters. You're exactly right. Cynthia writes, please tell Alan that his favorite movie in the whole world, Mr. Roberts, is on Turner Classic Movies, TCM, at 5:45 this afternoon. As always, you all make such good sense. The Roundtable is my, and capital MY, favorite program. That's from Cynthia. Isn't that nice?
We like
Cynthia.
Yes.
We do. And then we have heard from someone who doesn't sign their name. That makes me crazy, you know. Sign your name. Man up. Female up. Whatever you
do. Don't read it.
Yeah, you know. Dude, just do the right thing. Tell Libby that tar sands oil is called dirty only because a huge amount of oil must be burned just to extract it from sand and liquefy it for transport so that we, parentheses, or other end users can burn it. Okay. Oh, no, I see. That's Robert. All right.
Okay, it's still dirty.
Okay, so Paul says, the oil is going to be transported no matter what. No pipeline. It goes less than 1 mile from my home down the railroad along Lake Champlain. We see frequent rail accidents. Pipelines have accidents also, but they are safer than rail transportation for crude oil. Skip that one. Okay, and then Tom, always welcome here, said, why aren't the Canadians running their own pipeline through their own country?
That was your question.
Yes, so I had that very question. Some people say that we have the capacity to refine, right, that we can do the refining, and others are that their ports aren't satisfactory, for doing this. Those are the answers we've had so far. Michael says, hi, gang. It's all well and good to cheer a slight delay for the Keystone XL. However, critically for Albany, no pipeline means more oil trains rumbling along the Hudson and through heavily populated areas. It's catch 22. So, Michael, you're accepting the theory that it has to be one or the other. because I've asked all of the environmentalists who come on the show that question, and they inevitably say we've really got to have a Marshall Plan that does environmental work. We have to have more, more windmills, for example.
More solar.
And then you get over to Lenox, Massachusetts, and you get a committee to stop windmills. So choices, obviously, Michael's point is choices have to be made. And let's see. And John says, I'm super excited that the internet won. Unfortunately, Republicans keep bringing this issue up again and again. SOPA and PIPA will beat them next time, too. And that's from John in Kingston. And Michael says, it's important we don't create barriers to entry for a market that relies on equal resources for success. For instance, if the Netflix and the Hulus of the world can't rely on equal bandwidth, then companies like them with good ideas won't be able to implement them. The equal playing field that the internet provides is the free market at its best, and that's what the FCC should protect. And that's it. And let's see. And Ted says, the fact that the 2,100-mile Keystone pipeline could have a leak isn't unique. It's just like all the other 190,000 miles of petroleum pipelines already running beneath our feet. I don't understand whether Ted is telling us, well, you know, just that's the way it is.
It's just any pipeline, and there's lots of them in the world.
Right.
Which is true.
Okay. Let's see. That's what I got.
All right. We thank you, and we welcome we welcome your letters as well, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let's move on to other issues, and we'll do this one real quickly because we've talked a lot about it, but this is just a follow-up to yesterday, but the Senate moved closer Tuesday to a deal to avert a partial shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security. The proposal faced an uncertain future in the House, where Republican leaders conspicuously refused to embrace it. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell told reporters that he was prepared to move swiftly to extend funding for DHS through the fiscal year in a bill that is not contingent on Republican demands to repeal President Obama's executive actions on immigration. However, there is still the question about the House, and House Speaker John Boehner did not immediately warm to the proposal, and it was not clear whether he could marshal enough backing in his chamber to complete the deal to keep DHS open beyond Friday when its spending authority expires.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. Just to reprise so that everybody knows what our conversation yesterday sounded like.
Yes.
Which was, Rosemary made the fine point, look, that this is going to happen. Nobody's walking off their jobs. They have to report for work. They have to be there.
Something like 85% of the workers are essential.
But then there was the other point, which I still think is that the American people, when they have government, want the government to protect them first and foremost. Not to inject yet another idea here, but in Paris, they're noticing drones flying over the skies all night long.
For a second night in a row.
Yeah. So what is that about? Is that offering, is the government there protecting people by saying, no, you may not fly, you know, drones unrestricted over? Because sooner or later, one of the wonderful people, and I say wonderful because it's exactly the opposite, who have been known as terrorists, are going to figure that out. And they are going to do something despicable with one of those drones. And so that's what government does. Now, back to the...
Well, the U.S. government has been doing pretty despicable things with those drones. Not in a transparent way. We've been killing people in Yemen, for example. So yeah, that would not be surprising.
Well, which is probably why, Rosemary, they're not... they're not moving with all dispatch to make rules because it might make them look bad. Although the Americans will probably feel not as badly about our flying drones over Yemen territory as over Washington, D.C. But back to the main point, which is that, you know, truly the number one function of government, according to most of the people that I know, I'm sure this holds up poll-wise, is to protect people and security. So if the Republicans are going to say, because we don't get what we want on an immigration bill,
right,
because you don't want to go along with us, we're going to take away your protections, I think they lose. I think Mitch McConnell knows they lose. And I think Boehner probably knows they lose, too. But he's got this, you know, sort of right-wing caucus that he has to put up with. And they have been known to make him cry.
Well, this is a political game of chicken. And the Republicans are going to blink first.
They have to.
They know.
The logic
like you
isn't
said.
There.
But what will happen is Boehner and the people he can get to vote the right way and the Democrats will come together to do this the right to do right. it the right way and to fund DHS. This is really about people feeling safe, as you said. This is the bottom line. You know, we all sit here, we read the paper, we have a little more information perhaps, but you know, Joe and Jane Q Public out there, they just want to feel safe. They don't want another 9/11. They don't want any kind of bombings in their neighborhoods or anything like that. And when they play with Homeland Security, this entity that's been put together to make us feel safe because of the Republicans having a problem with immigration reform, you know, one thinks that perhaps we need to reform how things are done, as in you vote on this, you vote on that, you don't put them together and then make a backlog of and make such a problem.
I think Boehner has lost it. He called the veto of the pipeline a national disgrace. I mean, come on. There's many other things you would call a disgrace, not that. And now, instead of working with McConnell, who clearly already has moved and is looking for a solution that will make the Republicans look like they're capable of governing, Boehner is digging in his heels. I don't get his strategy.
Well, his strategy is that, as we have said, he has a conference which is not going along and is afraid of right-wing primaries and being primary by somebody who's even more right-wing than they are and winning. I mean, that's the way that it's been working. But, you know, as a sometime student of Congress, Rosemary, I just want to point one thing out to you, and that is that riders, in other words, putting something on a bill, it has no place.
Old
that
tradition.
Has been used by Democrats for a long time.
I know.
There is the so-called Powell Amendment, which revolutionized the way that education operates in this country and was roundly applauded by everybody. So it's not as if this hasn't been used by both sides.
Oh, sure. It's just that now we're at this impasse and government lots of parts of government could just shut down because of these two things being intricately linked. It's like the governor putting ethics reform in the budget.
Right.
You know, it's like, I get it. Politically, I get it. Is it the best thing? Is it the best way to make law? Is it the best way to govern?
Blair Horner, who is frequently on the show, had a wonderful response to that yesterday, saying they should pass the budget and they should pass ethics reform. Why are they connected?
Real ethics reform.
Yeah, just do it. That's your job.
Well, I have something to offer if I haven't done that on that already. And that is, I've been told that the strategy here is going to be now, you know, because of the somewhat obscure law case, Silver versus Pataki, it was established that the governor has tremendous power. Mm-hmm. Only he can put stuff in, and they can't take it out.
Right.
So what's going to happen is they're all going to meet, and he's got all this great stuff now, a la Andrew. He does this all the time. It's great stuff. They lose their pensions. That's not in this particular thing, but we got to know how much money they're making and to a dime how much everybody's giving them and all the rest of it. Now they meet in a room. And the governor gives, like he always gives, and they take it away, and he goes back, he gets rid of the budget he submitted. That's the only way to do this, and he resubmits another budget with the new language in it, and that's the way they're going to do it. Because these legislators will not give up the perks.
No,
they just won't give them up.
Okay, we're back to New York State. We keep doing this, don't we?
Well, it's infuriating, to be honest with you, and I apologize if I've done something wrong, but it is infuriating that the game goes on and nobody cares.
Well, that seems to be at both levels. In New York State, 92% of the people now believe that corruption is an important issue, and we're playing games.
But not as important as a late budget, according to the Siena poll.
Which is 58%.
Right.
Yeah.
And at the national level, people have made it more than clear that they want government working, actually doing stuff, and we're still going to end up facing a possible partial government shutdown. So we're not actually being listened to very much.
Let's take a break, and we'll listen to you. All you have to do is write to us, and then that way we can hear you, and we'll read your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. And Ashokan Center, retreats, conferences, family celebrations, and school programs, a classroom in the wild. AshokanCenter.org.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. We welcome you to join us as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a few more issues to get to, but I think we have a letter or two to get to, and then we'll do that, and then we'll move on to the other stuff.
Well, here's one that has a good beginning, then goes downhill. Alan and the BBC. I think Alan, spelled wrong, is brilliant, and I have a great respect for him, but I must disagree about the BBC News. The BBC News is very informative, and I always enjoy watching it. Well, it's being a radio station. I find the steady drumbeat on Fox News against President Obama to be depressing. Thanks, Mark. Okay, so... Look, I never said, you know, you may remember that my job here is to be president and CEO of WAMC. And I think it's fairly obvious that the BBC would not be played if we didn't all, Joe and I and everybody else, agree that this was an important thing to have on. All I said is there were times I listened and I can't stand it.
Well, your point, yeah, right, yeah. was of what the people on the AM dial were getting away with. It was just that you were listening and being diverted. I think we all have different attention spans of certain things and we move on. You do not expect it to like everything. It wasn't an indictment against the BBC, correct?
Yeah, it wasn't. In fact, I have great admiration for the BBC, except for certain stories in which... You know, I said, oh, God, not again. Anyway, so we heard from William. I was watching an Italian documentary last night on WMHT, and I thought I saw, I think I saw a shot of Alan at Mario's press conference when he announced he wouldn't run for president. What was it like to be in that room? I forget. I forget if I was even there. All I know is I made a fool of myself that very morning on the Today Show. They had me on, and I went over here, and they did a shot, and they said, is he running? And I said, of course he's running.
Right.
So why else would he have the plane revved up and running and the propellers going and getting ready to go to file his papers? Why else would he do that? Why indeed? Turned out I was just wrong, so I called the governor. And I said, Governor, I said, I was just on the Today Show, and I told him you were running for president. He said, you shouldn't have said that. That's what he said. Okay.
Quickly, I think Rosemary has seen this too, but the series that he's talking about on Italian Americans on PBS
is
really amazing.
Wow. It's
a great. I don't know how many parts it is, but it's really well done.
It is.
Yeah, it's the hardest part of these documentaries is getting photos, of course, because we're talking about the turn of the century. Sure. Photography was new, and Italian immigrants are going to be the last ones to have photos. So the stuff stuff they've come up with is just great.
Oh, it's fabulous.
I'm making my classes look at it. Yeah,
yeah, really fun stuff.
My barber, speaking of which, Joby Ritmo, gave me the 10, 20, 30-part series on my pronunciation is terrible on Giuseppe Verdi. And I found that to be sensational.
Maybe I could borrow that.
Couldn't get away from it. It was wonderful. So, you know, they do some good work over there. Okay, now, B says, Bruce says, great program. He says, no one is talking about the fact that law of eminent domain will be used against American citizens in favor of a Canadian company to provide the right-of-way for this pipeline. It's a bad idea all the way around.
Yeah, that's interesting. Aspect I hadn't thought of.
And Michael says, what do you think of Susan Rice's comment that Netanyahu's coming address to Congress is destructive, in quotes? And that's from Michael. I've been quite clear on this. In fact, I was at 7:45 this morning. I'm Jewish. I love Israel, to tell you the truth. Have since I was born. And yet I think this is a terrible mistake on both Netanyahu's part and on Boehner's part. Because I think it's a cheap political trick. I think the president should have been informed because he's in charge of our foreign policy. I think it's a terrible idea.
It's not Boehner's place.
No.
It's just
that
And
you're simple. The president of your congregation.
Right. But it's not Boehner's place. And it puts everybody in a bad position to have to respond to this. Not everyone in the community supports Netanyahu and his policies. And it's just really a difficult thing to do. And Boehner did it to stick it to the president. It's just plain and simple. And so, you know, and Netanyahu, unfortunately, has let himself get caught up in the internal politics of America.
Yep. Rosemary?
Well, I'm totally, I don't like Netanyahu. I think this is a case where you can be against Israeli policies and not be anti-Semitic. I'm not Jewish, so I have to say that. He's just not very good for Israel. There should be. Israel has done amazing things, and it always makes me, when I visit there, think, wow, why can't they fix this other thing? I always expect more of Israel. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another discussion.
Right. For another day.
Okay.
So I'll let you guys vote, Trayvon Martin or Hillary Clinton?
For the story that we're going to do? Trayvon.
Okay.
We got lots of time for Hillary.
Okay. Well, that is true. Yeah. good point. All right.
That's the story that keeps on giving.
That's right.
And Dallery. Hillary and
Hill
Dale.
And Dale. Chip
okay,
and Dale,
fine.
Hill
right.
and Dale, sure.
Right. Okay,
the Justice Department on Tuesday closed its investigation into the shooting death 3 years ago of Trayvon Martin, the unarmed black teenager in a hoodie who became a symbol of racial profiling in the face of a protest movement. I do have to say that the one thing that hit me like a ton of bricks last night was when they said 3 years. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like
That's
it was that long ago.
Right.
But anyway, without filing hate crime charges against the gunman George Zimmerman, the department began its civil rights investigation shortly after a national furor erupted over Mr. Martin's death in Sanford, Florida, which set off protest, demands for justice, and an emotional response from President Obama.
So can anybody tell me what you think the conversation between the Attorney General and the President may have been if it did occur? I mean, I'm not saying it did, but what would it have sounded like should the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department bring an action against the police here? It would cause considerable foment, political foment, which I suspect they thought they just don't need.
I think they knew all along or have known for some time that it was unlikely that this suit could occur. The law in Florida was just bad. I've said that from the beginning. That's why the police didn't bring charges. I don't think that was racism. I think that was like, wow, we can't charge under the laws as they exist. And I think that has happened. I will also say I don't think we're going to see anything come out of Ferguson either, which is the next one.
Well, also, do you think if Eric Holder was not leaving, do you think we would have even gotten this, or it would have just been kicked down the road even further, meaning that he had said before he leaves that he would wrap this up, so nothing happened.
Right.
But you have to wonder if he was going to stay on for another year and a half, of whether we would have even heard anything.
Would it even have gotten that? I think they would have just kept quiet. I mean, the problem is at the state levels. It's in Missouri and it's in Florida. Mm-hmm. It's not at the U.S. level. These laws are not set up to give justice that must come from a state court. That's just not what the federal law is set up to do. It's set up to stop hate speech, and the what it's protecting against is the First Amendment. And I do want the standard to attack the First Amendment to be very high. So it's really, really bad that we can't get justice, but it doesn't come from the federal level. It has to come from the state. Disagree, Libby? You're giving me a look here.
I'm not giving you a look. I'm just being quizzical.
You're pondering.
I'm pondering. I think that George Zimmerman went out there because he saw a black youth in a hoodie. And that speaks to the racial component of this issue.
Yep.
The Stand Your Ground law in Florida was horrible. And it trumped whatever. It trumped good sense, that's for sure. I don't think that the federal hate crimes law is just about hate speech. Mm. You know, it's really, it goes much further than that. And we've had, I mean, the gay community have seen some heinous hate crimes perpetrated upon us, and we've been able to use that law as a way of going after the perpetrators in states that are, like New York, where we have a hate crime.
No, I agree with you. You know, if they had wanted to do it,
they would have done it. Right. Yeah. And I don't know about Ferguson. I think Ferguson, you know, this was a police officer killing an unarmed black guy. And we're seeing, you know, I mean, I get these things on Facebook all the time about police misconduct. And I'm not saying that that's the way all police act. And even I think it was... Well, first of all, you know, they're using in New York City Patrick Swayze from the Roadhouse for training, you know, to be nice to people until you don't have to be nice anymore. You know, so what's that threshold?
God, you should at least use a good movie for training.
Well, you know, but I don't think in the Trayvon case,
I don't think that even had it come to a charge, they could have won it. That guy, the shooter, has proved himself over and over again to be an aggressive, kind of crazy guy.
Issues.
He's got anger issues. So. Was that racism, or would he just shoot anybody or hurt anybody, including girlfriends? Mm-hmm. So I don't think they had a case.
Well, I mean, from my perspective, domestic violence is another form of hate crimes, just not in the law.
Well, it gets complicated.
Yes.
It really does get very complicated because if the guy has a loose fuse.
He's got a loose screw.
And then you did
But you can also only base it on that particular case.
Right. Well, you can't look at it.
Right.
The law can do only so much.
Right.
We are out of time, but I want to thank everybody for taking part and for your letters and for our wonderful panelists. We'll be back tomorrow as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. In the meantime, Libby, Rosemary, Alan, thank you very much.
And thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.